This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham sitting in for Cynthia Canty. So last night, not only did we hear from President Obama and the State of the Union address, but we also heard from Governor Rick Snyder and the State of the State address. There at the Capitol were Rick Pluta of the Michigan Public Radio Network and Zoe Clark of Michigan Radio and our own resident political junkie. So you guys got to listen to the speech. I think the number one thing that was on the governor's mind last night, in my impression, was talking about rotten roads and bridges, talking about 1 in 9 bridges were structurally deficient. And here's what he wants voters to do in May.
Vote yes, so we can get rid of those crumbling bridges and crumbling roads. Vote yes, so we can have stronger schools and local government. Vote yes, so we can have tax relief for lower income people.
Now, as that clip inferred, there are a lot of pieces to this ballot initiative that's going to be coming up. Are the voters going to get it? And how much does this confusing, multifaceted part of this ballot measure
First, if anything, let's just say if you were playing, you know, the governor's speech bingo or any type of drinking game.
As some people were last night.
And vote yes, man. You could not even make it halfway through that, through that speech.
Well, you would have been, although if you had chosen shout out, you actually would have been probably further along by the end of the speech.
Or River of Opportunity.
Right.
Shout out was still number one.
Well, let's talk about this thing.
Yeah, you want to talk about policy,
looking at.
Though,
yeah.
Lester,
I
right.
want to talk about what the voters are going to be looking at in May and this idea of fixing the roads, but also dealing with
right.
this massive measure that the voters are going to be looking at.
And this was the speech was like a little under 50 minutes, and he spent the first, we timed it, he spent the first 20 minutes, as governors do, but talking about last year, what was done, but also what wasn't done. And one of the things that wasn't done is lawmakers figuring out a way to pay for the more than $1 billion a year that the governor and a lot of folks in the state pretty much all agree on is needed. What they can't agree on is how to pay for it.
Rick, how many State of the State speeches has the governor proposed funding for roads?
I think this would be the second or third where he has.
I think it's at least the third.
Has he called it for all of them?
Yes. Yeah. He began his administration talking about the need for more money for roads, and we have only seen the tempo of, you know, calling for that increase as it hasn't gotten done.
So this
it was
vote,
really
this,
halfway through the first term that it moved to the top of the priority list after, you know, some other things were dealt with. And, you know, that clip you played was actually just a few instances of the 7 times in a row that the governor said, vote yes, here's why, vote yes, here's why. And it was because, you know, with a statewide audience on the speech, plus, you know, the subsequent attention, the news coverage and whatnot, that he couldn't pass that by. But it does speak to the challenge that is facing the governor, that the early polling is not good, that the success rate on these ballot questions to raise taxes, especially, you know, the sales tax, which must be voted on because it requires an amendment to the state constitution. Constitution, you know, that the track record is not that good. And so he's going to have to go get in front of it in a big way to persuade people that this has got to get done.
There was a lot of hope in the lame duck session that they would find some kind of solution to funding roads without going to a ballot proposal, an amendment to the Constitution like this. Is this a failure of the governor's leadership, or can you blame this squarely and lay it at the feet of the legislature?
I don't know, you know, what it might say about the governor's leadership that, you know, he had to get the legislature to, you know, go along, and you've got to persuade a majority of the House and a majority of the Senate to go along with you. This is certainly not what the governor wanted, though. First of all, the governor wanted this to be user fees, a fuel tax, registration fees, something, you know, along those lines, which is also what the business community wanted. And if it did go to the ballot, then, you know, Proposal A style, you know, school funding from the mid-1990s, that he wanted there to be a backup plan, that if there was going to be a ballot question, then it was going to be an either or. And he didn't get either of those with this. That said, you know, he's trying to make lemonade out of lemons and, you know, get it done. If it passes, then it's, you know, problem solved, at least for the moment. If it doesn't, then everything goes back to square one.
And we heard Gretchen Whitmer, the former leader of Democrats in the Senate, say exactly that at the press conference when they were introducing this. And a reporter asked her, you know, what happens if this doesn't pass in May? And she said something like, I don't even want to have to think about, you know, what that would look like. So, mm-hmm. you know, come the first week in May is going to be a really large vote on something that has taken up a really, really a lot of energy for this governor.
And the governor is still expending energy on, you know, the early stages of this, going out and building, trying to build support among the business community for this. Because like I said, this is not what they signed on for. And so he's got to go and meet with boards. The Detroit right. Regional Chamber is already on board. He's got to make the same pitch to a lot of other business boards. And remember, campaigns, especially campaigns that ask taxpayers to do something difficult like raise taxes, are expensive. And the same business leaders that he's approaching to support yeah. the road funding ballot proposal are pretty much tapped out after the campaign last year for the personal property tax
proposal. Groups of people that he's, you know, he's always had a bromance with are suddenly like, whoa, not so sure we're going to support you on this one.
Are we going to see Americans for Prosperity or some of the other Tea Party groups
yes.
putting out ads saying, vote no, we don't need higher taxes?
All of the above.
Yeah, okay. So that's what we've got to look forward to till May. We'll see what happens. Happens then. I wanted to move on, and the governor talked about river of opportunity, and there were a lot of metaphors about getting with the stream, and I got to tell you, it all sounded kind of nice, but I kind of got lost in the mainstream of the stream and wasn't sure exactly what he was talking about.
You were drowning in metaphors, Lester?
Is that what you're saying?
I'm sorry, I had to do it.
Upstream, were you?
Save me on this one. Somebody throw me a life preserver. What was he talking about?
Well, look, I mean, the governor is a CPA, not an English major, and clearly he was trying to work that one. And the point was, I think the point that he was trying to make is that society is moving, but some people are moving ahead faster than others, and that one of the goals of the second term is to try and bring everyone into the mainstream of that river of opportunity. That's the working metaphor.
Which is interesting to note. I mean, Lester, earlier in the show, you talked with, you know, a couple congressmen who, you know, were at the State of the Union speech. But there was this interesting parallel between the governor's speech and President Obama's
right,
speech last
middle
night.
Middle-class economics, this, river of opportunity.
Uh-huh, exactly. And this sort of sudden look at, you know, we know the economy in terms of some statistics. Many statistics look from the outside like it's doing better. And yet there are groups within the middle class, the lower middle class, who are not feeling it. And we heard this from both the governor and the president last night about creating these new opportunities.
And what they want to deal with are the chronically unemployed and wage stagnation. And, you know, they both had, you know, their own approaches to doing this. You know, in the case of the governor, it was sort of the parallel paths of focusing on workforce development mm-hmm. and skilled trades, which he says is sort of, you know, part of Michigan's culture, you know, but also, you know, this merger of two major departments, the Department of Community Health and the Department of Human Services, into a Department of Health and Human Services. And the idea there is that you can streamline services, deal with things like, you know, different eligibility requirements for similar programs, and then get people on the path to independence.
I don't want to be too cynical here, but in the last decade, we've combined agencies and then separated agencies. And sometimes from an outside observer, it kind of looks like rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. So will we actually see, you know, the governor stressed that we got to stop talking about programs and start talking about serving people, and it makes more sense to serve people with this kind of, I suppose, one-stop shopping for helping them, you know, get the help that they need and guidance to becoming productive workers. Is that the goal here?
Sure. And that's just it. The idea is that, you know, these are two departments with a lot of agencies within them that have similar functions. And your observation is spot on. You know, someone is always trying to solve something here in Lansing. And so you see two departments that have similar functions, and people look at that and go, well, why don't we combine them and, mm-hmm. you know, have them work together and be more streamlined and efficient? And sometimes they'll look at a department and go, well, you know what, those agencies parties that they may be similar in function, but they have different core missions. So let's separate them out and let them focus on their core missions more effectively. I mean, that's what we saw with the Department of Environmental Quality and the Department of Natural
Resources. Very early on in the governor's first term. It is interesting to note that with that, though, I think there came from this Republican governor some conservative talk, which, the speech was not incredibly full of conservative talk from the governor last night.
Oh, no, there was plenty there for,
Democrats,
the oasis was opened to Democrats, Republicans.
Yes, but this merger, this idea of creating a more efficient government, that was something that did get quite an applause from Republicans and that we are hearing a lot of support about from more conservative folks, this idea of, creating smaller government.
But even Democrats are saying that they're on board with the concept. Uh-huh. They just want to see how it plays out. Is this really about getting better services to more people with a better result? Or is this just about saving money?
And as I say, smaller government, we should also note, too, this would then create the state's largest department.
Largest department.
Gongware News was reporting that it would be 46% of the state's a little over $50 billion budget. So big numbers.
Not surprising, though. I mean, besides the Department of Corrections, I mean, these human services
are not surprising at all. Not surprising at all.
I want to go through several things really quickly. One of the things is I remember I was in the chamber when the governor did his first State of the State speech, and he talked about preschool through 20 years old. Last night he talked about preschool through third grade. Is this a shift overall, or is this just a concentration of here's where we need to get things done first?
Well, he spoke about both of those, Lester, that, the third grade reading is a goal because there's a lot of research that shows that students who aren't competently reading by the third grade, that is, that they have comprehension and instead of learning to read, after that they're reading to learn, then they just fall behind. But the governor also spent a lot of time on the transition from high school into higher education, especially community colleges and those skilled trades, but also, into a four-year education. He talked about middle colleges and, where high schools and community colleges sort of, are combined into one track, that you're actually earning credits while you're a senior in high school. No, that's still very much a part of the governor's thinking.
He also briefly mentioned having a dialogue about protection for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people within the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act. Afterwards, Representative John Hoadley of Kalamazoo had something to say about that.
There is a real reason he's putting it out there, because business leaders in Michigan, the governor recognized that we need this for talent retention. And this is about, I think, laying about a broader conversation in the state of Michigan.
Now, I did see some complaints on Facebook and other social media that possibly the governor could have been a little stronger in his language. He was kind of ambiguous. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Zoe?
All of those things, but those are not new arguments. I mean, Rick and I can both remember back in May at the Mackinac Policy Conference, there was this huge to-do because the governor came out and he said, hey, legislature, let's remember, completely controlled by Republicans. Hey, I want you to debate adding LGBT rights to the state's Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act. Rick and I had a sit down, just the two of us, with the governor about 20 minutes after. And we said, oh, so you're endorsing adding. And he said, no.
Mm. Well, so previously, he had been silent about it.
Right.
Then he said that it's time that we talked about it. Mm-hmm. But the legislature is not simply a debating society, that you don't ask the legislature to talk about something without seeking a result, an action, a policy, to come out at the end. And last night, he actually did say, let's show people that we can resolve this.
So what I was going to say is that he has gotten a little closer to something. Not an endorsement, but he keeps putting his toe in a little bit. And this goes to a little bit about also, I think you can bring in some of the court cases that are happening right now.
And there's been a shift overall among the population. I mean, it's really clear that if you put your finger in the wind, you can see which way it's blowing. So I'm guessing the governor is saying this is almost inevitable. We don't want to be standing on the wrong side of history at the end of the day if the people are moving
in this direction. Well, there were a couple of things going on there. And one of them was that this was a bit of a throwdown on the Republican leadership, who've said that they're done with this issue of Elliot Larson. If it's going to get resolved, it's going to be done some other way. And Lester, but that's also exactly what it was, that the governor was obliquely saying, you might think that that conversation is over, but it's not over because it's something that everyone is talking about and you really don't have a choice. And as you pointed out, that we've got the court cases, that we've got the Michigan marriage case that's going to go to the U.S. Supreme Court. We've got a federal judge who just validated the marriages of the 300 couples that were wed during that window last March. And keep an eye on what the Snyder administration does with that decision, whether or not they decide to appeal it before the early February deadline, because they may not.
And again, Lester, this goes back to this idea of what we were talking a little earlier in this conversation about, that this was a governor who, you wonder, now that this is, you know, his first speech of his last term in office, if he doesn't feel a little less held down by some of the conservative principles and feels a little more willing to talk about some more moderate issues, as we were saying, almost quite a few things in that speech last night that Democrats were standing up for and applauding for that maybe some more of the conservative Republicans weren't.
That's Zoe Clark and Rick Pluta. They are the co-host of It's Just Politics. You can hear every week here on Michigan Radio talking about what happened last night with the State of the State and Governor Snyder. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thanks, Lester.
Well, you bet.